Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is David Love.
And this is Lana Love.
Welcome to our show.
Today we're really, really happy and privileged to have Lauren Eisenhower on our show.
Right, we've been trying to get Laura for quite a while now, but because of scheduling conflicts, everyone's busy doing lots of stuff. But here we are, and very excited. This is going to be a great show.
Lauren is, of course, the great granddaughter of President Eisenhower. And I guess just like her father, she has very strong, passionate political views. But as well, she's a global transformational leader. She has psychic abilities. She has, I guess, a great connection with a divine goddess. And she, where do I start?
Yes, she's
She does so much.
an amazing personality and an amazing person in a network who's also connected to our good friend Alexander Mides of Galactic Connection and Jonah Bolt of the Starseed Society and Starseed Radio. So we're very excited to have you on our show today, Laura.
Well, it's excellent to be here. I've been so looking forward to this, and it's just really wonderful to connect in this in these times. You know, every time there's always something significant going on, but I have to say, it's been pretty wild, and we're entering into a zone of really powerful stuff after the last new moon in Scorpio, and I
Absolutely.
just feel like those that are really connecting right now are really like moving into that energy of transformation and really guiding the way. And so it's nice to share this space with you.
It's very powerful energy, isn't it? Actually, I'd like to tell you how we actually found you.
Oh, you read my mind.
Really.
And we didn't actually find you through Alexander or Jonah either. I had no idea that you were connected to them.
Strangely enough, we were I think we were looking up some
We would
things about.
we were doing a tantric meditation first.
And we were also talking about, I guess, the world history and how humanity suffers. And somehow I brought up Saint Sophia, and of course, you know, she had was a martyr with her three daughters
Faith, hope, and charity.
who were killed.
I had that image of Sophia in my mind at that time when we were having our meditation time and
And of course, David does seem to be able to connect with higher powers.
particularly the divine feminine essence, which I call Sophia and I call Isis and any number of other names you give this feminine energy, this feminine consciousness that I have a connection with.
And at that point in time, oh, that's right, I was also contemplating some of the difficulties of motherhood. While motherhood can be wonderful, it can be really, really difficult as well, as all mothers out there know. And David, you gave me a message from Sophia about how she understands and she the suffering of womanhood.
She understands the suffering of womanhood and mothers and the difficulties, and she's a very wise matriarchal spiritual being. And apparently, she manifests through you, Laura, which is very exciting. And I'm not surprised that we connected with you this
So we
way.
looked up Saint Sophia, and then somehow we got onto you. So just amazing stuff.
Oh, neat. It's
And
always
of course,
good
I
to
believe
link
one
that
of your
up.
global projects is the Sophia Christ Consciousness Creating Global Transformation Project.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, this is the deeper story, really, when we think about it, with all the complexities out there that people are sharing about. When we really look at all of that from the most relatable, I guess you could say, but probably almost the most shocking, you know, is that creation is a love story, and it has to do with archetypes that we inherit the properties of, and we live them out, and you know, we can distract our way ourself away from it and sort of become what society teaches us to be, or we can live in our deeper soul essence and write the new myths, you know, and carry these archetypes and bring them into harmony. Because there's a lot of mythologies that, you know, show a certain level of completion, but when we're in different eras with different demands and, you know, different things going on, you know, there's a familiarity with those energies from the past because they are us. It's in our soul architecture. That's why when we see a tarot deck or a zodiac, you know, we all have different parts of the whole. But we're able to experience all of it, and that's where the zero point energy is when we embrace enough of our aspects or embrace enough of the differences that we might not see in ourselves, you know, in the outer world to unify, and then we share codes and we unify, and then we kind of graduate from the time loop, which is the zodiac, and we get right into a whole new energy. And so that's what I feel Sophia is trying to guide us home to. But she, in order to be able to guide us, has to go through this herself.
Laura, can I ask you, how did you get to this, to you know, becoming connected and becoming spiritually aware? Have you always been like this, or was there a particular experience that brought you to this?
Right, because, I mean, quickly, your great-grandfather was President Dwight Eisenhower during World War II, Supreme Allied Commander of NATO forces. So this is really interesting that you've taken on this mission like we have and other people in our network.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, not everybody would put two and two together of, you know, it's kind of, we see in the world people choosing one or the other. They're either more geared towards the right brain or the left brain, more polarized towards the masculine or the feminine, and, you know, regardless of what gender we're in. You know, you can have your alpha males, you can have your really sensitive men, you know. To find a really, really, really balanced and whole being is happening more and more, but, you know, I wouldn't say that that's how things have been geared up to teach us. I mean, that's not what the teachings have been about. There's been a lot about conquer and divide just in the wars.
Right.
And there's been a lot of distortions with the masculine and feminine and a lot of division between spirituality and science. And so as a kid, you know, I kind of recognized this. I was like, all right, well, we're naturally spiritual, you know, because as kids, we want to share, you know, what we're seeing that nobody else is able to see. And we either allow ourselves to be pushed away from that or shut down, or we preserve it and we, you know, create some sort of space for it. And so I did everything I could to try and do that. It wasn't very easy, and I didn't always do so good later in my years. But there were certain things that I wasn't willing to give up because of what I was being shown. And it just really helped me to see just the voice of Mother Earth and just the energies of the masculine and feminine, how off they are, and how much the real love story is really about uniting them in the hearts of men and women, even though they're always together in these higher dimensions. The lower in density we go, you know, the more interferences and distortions and control agendas can come into the mix. And so their cry out for us is, you know, divorce that wicked stepfather or that government official that's not here to help you. Focus on what's inside, you know, the true love story, because that's going to generate miracles, magic, abundance. It's going to clean the elements of the earth, and it's going to shift us into higher earth energies. And so I felt very strong with that inner love story. You know, I was all about the Christ energy and the Magdalene energy and their union. But I was like, you know, it can't just be something I'm trying to figure out from a past life or something I'm going to read about in a book. I'm like, this exists within all of us, you know? And the reason the world's so out of whack is because it doesn't want us to know this. This is why the stories have been rewritten. This is why we're given all sorts of false flags in the news to encourage us to go to war, you know, and fighting for the things that should make us feel proud of who we are, when really, you know, nurturing what's within and creating better relationships and unifying is the end of war, you know. And if people find that sort of boring, you know, that's where creativity comes in. And that's where we start to work with the regenerative power of nature and the animal kingdom and these multidimensional realms and our star family. So, you know,
well, Laura, I'm so glad that you said that your final, I guess, outlook on this is the unity of the feminine and the masculine, because I know that you very much put forward the goddess and the feminine, but I guess what we are about, the universal soul love, is actually a recognition that it's not just about the divine feminine taking over again from the masculine. It's about unity the two together.
It's about balance and the two genders, the two energies working
right.
in tandem. And
that's right.
And then we know what the essence of it all. Consciousness is simply consciousness without all the labels.
That's
and
right,
extra
non-duality.
Things. No self. We know this. And we know that in life we take on masculine and feminine energies. And I'm very much in my own masculine power, and I have my own masculine inner god or whatever name you want to give that higher self anyhow. So I do, and I do very much support the feminine consciousness and her mission in this life. So, and I certainly support you, Lana and Laura, and what you're doing and our shared vision here.
And that sort of support by the masculine for the feminine and vice versa. I strongly believe that, you know, I'm very much a feminist, but I'm not a feminist. I'm a feminist who loves men, not hates men. And that unity, I think, is incredibly important for our world.
definitely, definitely. I agree. I'm all about empowering the feminine, but I'm empowering the love story, you know, because to take that away or to keep the masculine in a box because of the box that those conditionings and programmings put them in, you know, means that, hey, then we should stay in the box of being exiled. I mean, let's all get out of the box and see who we truly are. And, you know, when that reunion happens, it has a direct impact on our DNA because there were technologies put in place 26,000 years ago to make it very difficult for our own inner masculine to be united. And it's not just a concept in our soul where we see this happy couple, you know, holding each other. It's on a DNA level. And there's a lot of reversals and a lot of things that have turned the masculine and feminine into a power struggle instead of a dance. And so that's where we see a lot of broken relationships. We see a lot of control coming from the male. We see a lot of, you know, victimhood coming from the female. But you could see women who are being patriarchal, and it's the other way around, where the male is feeling, you know, victimized or exiled, you know, and it's, and so it goes beyond gender. And that's why it's so important that we recognize the balance between the two, but we also recognize that each individual is balancing those energies, and we address what's most necessary in these incarnations to, you know, bring it into a greater whole and integration.
This is totally true, and we need to recognize that this has nothing to do with gender, and that we need to unite, and we need to empty our heads and empty our minds and look beyond the beliefs and beyond the thoughts and really get to the core of it all and know who we are on a deeper level, both spiritually and on the genetic level, because everything you say is absolutely true. And we've spoken with Michael Tellinger on our show about this, and we've interviewed Sasha Stone. And I now know, even more recently from my recent experiences, that this is all true. And we just need to become more aware and spread this and stop listening to all the disinformation and manipulations and really listen to our true voice.
So before we go into all the manipulations and all the dark forces that are gathering at the moment, could I ask you, Laura, how do you propose that people do this and help themselves get in touch with their divine self?
I think it's really important to step away from everything. You know, we're bombarded all the time. I mean, if you're always in a room filled with your friends, you would need to go close the door and take a break. Or, I mean, that's, but the thing is, you know, we can't necessarily turn off the chemtrails or turn off the cell towers, but we can certainly turn off the computer at night or, you know, make sure the TV's off and drive somewhere beautiful where there is none of that. You know, I think we need to be incredibly sensitive and really feel into the energies that don't feel right for us and not just be these, you know, expectations that we are raised with, like you have to make everybody happy or you got to work, you know, this much to be successful, or this is what success looks like and means. And if your life doesn't sort of unfold like this, then, you know, it's going to leave that person with a stigma of, oh, I failed or I couldn't do it. And it's like, wait a second, you know, you're selling yourself to somebody else's story and instructions. You know, maybe that's not the truth for you. And so when I realized what an oddball I was and what a black sheep I was, like, okay, I have to find something to make this work for me or it's going to get really, really painful. And I was like, you know what? What would compromise look like? I would be depressed. I would be shut down. I would have to probably be fake, you know, in order to, you know, make it work. And I'm like, I can't do that. I just can't do that. And once you can, that's great, but it expires. You can't continue with that.
No.
So just encourage people. What does being true to yourself mean? How much are you hanging on to friends and situations or things that you do in your everyday that you're not really fully in resonance with, that you know on some level brings you down? And what do you find the most insulting things that end up controlling you and ruling you? For example, there might be something about the appearance of a woman and you know, and just all the things that, like, you know, women tend to get all upset about. And maybe with men, it has to do with how much is in their bank account. You know, I know these are sort of old paradigm programs. It seems so long ago. It's kind of like, God, I can't believe we're referring to it. But people still live in that, as we know.
Yes,
oh,
that's
sure.
True.
Absolutely.
And just asking yourself questions and saying, do you love yourself enough to be willing to turn the dials or to get it, you know, where your physical lifestyle is a mirror of your deeper truth and your divine energies? You know, and your physical life is where you're going to do all the work. That's where you're going to turn all the dials. That's where you're going to break agreements that don't serve you. That's where you're going to walk away from people that are toxic. That's where you might move to a location that you really, really love. And it's where you'll also say goodbye to that job. The sixth house also rules health. Because if we don't do these things and we deny these things, our unconscious energy ends up playing it back as something that shows us unwellness. But we have to understand that it's a blessing. Thank God our body's trying to tell us something.
It does. And you know, you're right. We need to let go of our old concepts and ideas and programmings and really have non-attachment to... We need to question our own thoughts and feelings when they come up and ask if that's true for ourselves, what's really true for us. And oftentimes, I have to go into solitude sometimes and be by myself because I'm always being bombarded by other people's stuff that doesn't belong to me. And, you know, we have to get that straight. What are we really all about? What do we stand for in life? What's our true vibration? And I totally understand what you're saying.
So certainly that spending time with yourself, with nature, that's, I guess, a wisdom that has been, present in all the great religions and teachings. I'm also interested, though, specifically, because I understand that you do readings and you do some healings, specifically, what technologies do you use to repair DNA and to allow someone to transform?
I don't really use any technologies. I use astrology as a tool, because once our consciousness is aware of something and it's not so unconscious, then we begin to work with it, we begin to activate it, or we release, you know, whatever blocks are there. I mean, when we meditate, or we're on a spiritual path, we'll find that we'll run into frequency fences in our DNA, which won't let us get to the next level. And it might come in the form of psychic attack. It might come in the form of, you know, just something manifesting that's saying, you just can't do this, you know? And that's it's because it's threatening, you know? Once we get to a certain place, you know, those are areas where they can't touch us anymore. Okay. Because once you truly wake up and you start to access these higher dimensional energies and these galactic chakras, it's going to be very, very hard to dupe us unless, you know, they become friendly with us and they're trying to tell us a different story about some of the galactic wars. But, you know, we know at this point who's on our team and who's not. And it doesn't mean that we hold the duality of us against them. Mm-mm. And that we do integrate them back in. But, you know, the trickster is very clever. It'll always find a new way to fool. And so it's just important to, you know, recognize that. And it goes back into the old question. So technologies, I would say, though, I mean, there's like Rife devices where you can put certain codes in that directly relate to a certain strand of DNA that might be damaged. I don't have one right now, but my partner has one, and I really think that they're excellent. You know, crystal bowls, sound healing, different tools and modalities that, you know, allow something to alter, you know, because of the frequency that it holds, and it kind of resets the energy that might have been running on a reversal or a different coding that, you know, maybe created a fragment that wasn't really able to see how fragmented it was. You know, how people walk around very wounded.
So all of those techniques are obviously very important, but amazingly what you're saying is that you can actually repair and maybe even change your DNA through this?
I believe consciousness trumps everything. I mean, we're the most advanced technology. Most technologies get their information from us, even if there are potentials we haven't stepped into yet. And the great thing is that, yes, we'll use them, but we also have to remind ourselves that they're waking us up to something that we have too. And there will eventually be a day where we can put them down and just rely on our own resources. But until then, there's a lot of really, really good ones. But there's a lot of dark technologies, which are slowing down that process of awakening and these sort of recognitions. And it's the same thing with, you know, how people are promoted in savior positions, you know, religions, you know, just, you know, where everything is still the same sort of model. Because the minute we start to realize, you know, that we're equals on a certain level, I mean, maybe we're at different phases of our soul path, but because of free will, it means that we all share in being able to reach the same potential. Doesn't mean everybody's going to go for it, but right there, that makes us equals. And yeah, a lot of people turn the other way. But the equal part of it is that we've been granted the same sort of blessings, the same sort of gifts, and the same cosmic laws that are going to throw us into traps if we don't walk a path of integrity. And so a lot of these lower beings went so far into the lower energies that they couldn't get back. And so they used technology and all sorts of things to keep them alive. And so it's important that we offset a lot of these things with technology. It's great, but my the thing that I've wanted to empower most is, okay, doing a tarot reading, looking at your chakras, looking at your chart, and getting you really well acquainted with your gifts and abilities and your deeper soul agreement. Those places in you, it's like turning the Christmas lights on. It's like when they're off, you can't tell they're really there unless you look close. And even then, you know, they look kind of like, what are they doing there? I mean, they're meant to be turned on. So, I mean, I'm not much into Christmas and all the hoopla, but it's the only example that came to me. But it's like once those strands get turned on, I mean, the whole I Ching is based in DNA. But when you read an I Ching post, you know, based on the coins you tossed, it's giving you a poetic version of something connected to your DNA, which helps you to activate it because you're seeing a story connected to it rather than just the mechanics of it. And so I think when we get in touch with, you know, really putting together our right and left brain and really just the harmonization of nature and technology and how it works with our own personal healing, we'll have a lot of revelations along the way that might even allow us to see, hey, I don't even need this anymore. So I think for a lot of people, there's some great things. And I'm not saying I don't need them sometimes, but what I like to really empower people to see in my session work is how much we can move with just that simple recognition. You know, the things that you've buried in your unconscious, you know, that control you from behind the scenes, or that gift that you're insecure about bringing in, that insecurity makes you feel like you don't have it, when in actual fact, most of the time insecurity means you have an amazing gift and you just don't feel permission. Because maybe it got, you know, maybe it got invalidated by a parent when you're a kid.
The true power, I think, is just within ourselves. It's our inner power. It's our personal power. It's just knowing our true selves and really having control over ourselves and our minds, and knowing that my primary past life guide in this life calls this what you were talking about, the separate but equal theory of consciousness, which means we're all one, yet we all have unique personalities, but consciousness is always the same. So we are all the same. And when we're spirits, we're no longer presidents and superstars and public figures. Underneath the flesh, we're all the same, but yet we all have special gifts in this life and talent and things to offer, and we just really need to get to the bottom of everything and know who we are on that deeper level, because things happen on many levels. I've seen this, and things can heal on many levels, on many dimensions, and you know this as well. And it's interesting that a certain number of us know all this same information, and we know all these same truths.
And I think it's really beautiful that you say that a lot of people that are insecure, in fact, do have special gifts. And I've certainly found that in my practice with therapy, with the patients, you know, those people that are insecure are often the most sensitive, and the gifts of love can be amazing when they get in touch with their authentic self. And that seems to be a very big focus for you, to get in touch with authentic self. I wanted to move on to the world and what you feel people can do for the world. And I'm wondering whether you could first tell us a little bit about the dark forces.
Should we take a break and then come back to this?
Okay.
So that we can sort of recalibrate here?
All right. Well, why don't we do that? Can I just, before we take a break, could we tell our audience your websites?
Oh, yeah,
I think you have a number of websites, don't you?
Sure, yes. I've got CosmicGaiaSophia.com. And then when I go and do events, I do sessions with my partner, and our website is dreamteamsessions.com. But pretty much everything's on the first website I shared, and I'm on Facebook. You can follow me there, and there should be a link for my website. And so that's
fantastic.
Okay.
Fantastic. All right, well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll get stuck into the other issues after the break.
The other realm, the lower vibrations.
And the high vibrations.
And we'll talk about how that all works and what we can do about that within our lives and in the world.
So I'll take a music break now. And welcome back to Universal Soul Love. This is Lana Love.
And Detective David Love.
And we have with us today Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, the great-granddaughter of President Eisenhower.
Right.
and intuitive astrologist, global alchemist, cosmic mythologist, and I would also add one of the transformational leaders of the,
the New Earth movement, our network.
Light Warriors, yes. Welcome back, Laura.
Welcome back.
Laura, can you hear us?
Oh, I had mute on. Thank you so much. I'm back.
Okay, welcome back. Laura, so I'm wondering whether you could tell us, so you've talked brilliantly about, you know, reaching the authentic self and how that can actually activate our DNA and reach, you know, really for us to be able to know what it is that really makes us tick and how important that is. With regard to Earth and Gaia now, and your website, reflects your love of Mother Earth. I'm wondering whether you could tell us a bit about what's happening with Earth, because we have these dreadful dark forces, industrialization and pollution and species dying and our terrorists.
Climate change, global economic situations.
And then we have those wars of us that are wanting to keep the earth green and save the earth and go into eco-villages.
Right.
What do we make of this? Are there dark and light forces at work?
Or is this just duality? We talk about the difference between activists and you know, the difference between light healers and light warriors or guardians, etc. We have all these labels, and this is really duality and non-duality. And I think we need to step out of all of this.
Do you think so?
Well, I don't know. This has always been a big debate in our network.
Very interested in your views, because I know that you do talk about industrialization and you do
militarization,
you do promote a loving Earth with, without pollution and going back to our roots. So, do you believe that there are dark forces that are trying to destroy the Earth?
Is this for me?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we look at duality, duality for me means, you know, opposition, you know, things that aren't really working together. They're working apart and they are easily in battle with each other. I mean, we have duality within ourselves when sometimes we want to make a good decision that's healthy for us and we're battling our lower ego who's like, no, you know, go this route with your friends. Everything will be fine. And, you know, it's a struggle because, I mean, for example, if the diversity part of non-duality might be different types of light workers, that's not really dualistic. That's more camaraderie, and it's like looking at the archetypes of a tarot deck. You know, for the most part, a lot of those archetypes are like one with each other. It's just you wear a different role dependent on what era, what calling you have, what is being triggered in you, what you're feeling called to do. But that is the oneness, because diversity in harmony is oneness. That's what unity is. And so when we started to go into this reincarnation cycle that's lasted for 26,000 years or so, and we came into this experience with amnesia, our challenge has been, how can we unify? How can we overcome the things that we've been taught in the history books? You know, the things that our parents might have passed down to us, where they're maybe bent on status, or, you know, those that might feel, you know, lack or a lack of self-worth because they can't measure up to something that looks more abundant and more successful, you know, and all these different viewpoints and things like that. And it's like, it's almost like none of that really exists except for the heartbeat of like all of us, you know, figuring out a way to work together so that, you know, things come back into balance more. You know, if somebody has a lot, they see the person that doesn't have so much, and there's the ability to share, you know, with some sort of energetic exchange, like, hey, you accumulated this, so if I, you know, do this for you, you know, it's a trade. And you know, each individual has different agreements because we've been coming into this experience for so long that we have to honor people's agreements. We have to also honor their boundaries maybe when they're ready to move on somebody. But that doesn't have to be duality when your time is up with somebody and you want to move on to the next thing. The duality, though, is where technologies are trying to control nature, where the very essence of free will is being manipulated. And where people are being so duped. I mean, because the thing is, they can't take your free will, but they can manipulate you out of it.
They can only influence you.
And we're born, you know, very susceptible to buying the bait right off the bat because, you know, we're small and we're vulnerable and we need the protectors and the guidance. you know, and it takes, you know, a lot of rebelling and a lot of soul searching and a lot of, you know, being okay, being different to preserve some of these deeper truths. And so, you know, the earth to me, she's a multidimensional goddess, and she sacrificed this portion of her body to help us to remember who we truly are, even though it's at a detriment to her own elements. But I'm not feeling we need to save the planet. I feel we need to rescue our creative energy and learn about what we're made of and clean and clear our inner elements. If we focus on cleaning and clearing our emotional body from all the heaviness and all the pain that we've ever carried, you know, if our fire energy is directed towards our passions instead of feeling angry or repressed anger, if our earth energy, which is our body, you know, is regenerating because there's a strong connection with the regenerative power of nature instead of just the matrix stuff, which programs our bodies. And if we allow our minds, which is an air quality, to be free, then in a sense, we're clearing the sky of chemtrails. And so we don't want to gauge what we're seeing in the outside world as whether or not we're making progress, because we're sharing this world with too many people and we're in agreement to sort of witnessing all these different timelines and possible scenarios. There's going to be a point, though, where bifurcation happens and we're going to recognize that the creative power that we've held is going to give us some results. Until then, we're trying to help people, you know, wake people up and this and that and help them to see another way. But I think the ultimate, as far as what Mother Earth and Gaia has given to us as a gift, is not to get crushed by where she is suffering or where these things aren't falling into place, but to turn that attention on ourselves, to really truly become her children, her guardians, her stewards, by taking the initiative to clear ourselves from those things that produce that. So what produces it? Well, I mean, it's almost really obvious. I mean, people still immerse themselves in politics and they don't agree with half of the people that they're talking about. That's a lot of energy going into somebody who's not going to make good decisions. But if you start to, you know, be on a show like this and talk about people like Michael Tellinger and the next event we're all going to go to, and, you know, maybe a meeting that we're all going to have because we just thought of some great land to start something where we, you know, share our gifts and knowledge, then we don't need to move into the new paradigm with our survival chakra going berserk, because we're saying goodbye to one sense of security and we're moving into the more organic sense of security. And I like to compare it with like animals being born into captivity. You know, they get so used to it that if you open the gate for them to go back out into the wild, that's scary, you know? But there's enough of us that are really well-versed in living in the wild, and we know how to acclimate to the captivity, and we're the ones that are, you know, going to make it more comfortable for people through choosing the heart instead of, you know, oh, you're crazy, you don't believe this stuff, and then they call you, you know, and then it all ends up being a war of trying to wake people up, and everybody's getting so discouraged. Oh, my mom won't listen, my friends won't listen. And the only reason I say this stuff is because I move through those layers. It's not like, oh, I just have it all figured out. It's like, no, I remember walking down the street crying because I can't believe my mom wouldn't look in the sky and take me seriously. Right. But, you know, after a certain point, it's like, I feel it's the inner elements that we want to clear. And when we do that, we're able to perceive the multidimensional body of the goddess, because this planetary body was seated with a 13-dimensional core. And we're lucid dreaming in a sense. When we clear ourselves of something, the landscape of what we experience changes. And even though we might not see everything get healed and fixed, we'll notice the synchronicities and opportunities that pull us into the kind of world that we want to be in. It's either manifesting it, or it's taking us to inner earth, or it's taking us on a mothership somewhere. Who knows?
It's healing on this level, and it's also healing on other unseen levels that we couldn't even imagine when we're healing here. So the clearing here helps on many dimensions.
Okay. Right. And walking a path of justice is important. Not saying, oh, you know, we're not going to be stuck here forever, so let's just abandon it. It's like, no. Because a big part of cleaning our own inner elements is using the outside world as a way for us to do that work. If I'm being mean to people, I'm actually contaminating my emotional body. But if I'm being compassionate and kind, that's the stuff that's going to clear your elements. You know, there needs to be care for the self, but not negating the world around you, or else we wouldn't be moving into unity.
No, it's about taking responsibility for yourself and not engaging with the illusions that we see in the outer world, and focusing on the positive outcomes that we're looking for, so that we're moving into that great new paradigm, that shared vision that we've all been talking about. And that's exactly what we're trying to do.
Okay, I'm going to be a bit of a devil's advocate here, or perhaps, you know, just offer another point of view, because this, what you say seems to have an incredible ring of wisdom about it, and yet I have difficulty accepting the fact that just by working on yourselves, that we are doing enough for the world. Because what I'm seeing is I'm seeing anarchy, I'm seeing wars, I'm seeing bombs, you know, bombs in Syria, bombs everywhere. We're seeing the refugee crisis, the people there being used manipulatively by our politicians in order to create chaos in the world. And many people are talking about the fact that there may be a new world order coming into existence.
Earth now, changes, earthquakes, all kinds of things going on right now, the poor economy, etc. We're seeing all of these things in the world.
There's all these things happening. And, of course, there are all the wars, and there was, you know,
and I don't know that Laura is saying don't do anything about this or don't be the activist. I think we're talking about something slightly different. But you go ahead, Laura.
It's good to bring up because I mean, I'm an activist. I go out there and I expose all the stuff. I don't care if, you know, there's death threats that come along with it. I mean, number one reason I incarnated into the Eisenhower family was to stop the secrecy and to really bring out everything that happened in his administration. So, you know, and that to me is outer work, but it still takes care of my inner work because it's the right thing to do. You know, if I'm going to, you know some of that stuff and say, oh, I'm just going to keep it quiet. It's not that I'm poisoning myself, but at the same time, it's like I'm stagnating myself. And so, you know, I don't like all the philosophies that everything outside of you is within you, you know, to get where it gets to the point of, okay, that's not always the case.
There's some things that are just
the balance here.
Because we're from many different timelines, many different dimensions, many different experiences. But I think the number one thing is to bust the imposters, bust the dark technology, and you know, make it clear, you know, what games are being played, or else people are just going to continue to be protesting about these wars, but they're not they're just choosing a side or they're voting a side in. They're not recognizing that there's something beneath all of that, playing with these pawns to set up these scenarios, to keep us locked in these stories that we're not going to be able to heal and protest away because they're going to turn it into martial law and all sorts of things, police states, if we fall into the trap that they're wanting to set. So I find the middle ground, which is to reach out for those that are victims, you know, to help them to come back into wholeness and healing, and to completely lift the lid up and say, hey, look at what these guys are really doing.
Expose the lies. That's the spiritual warrior. That's the balance. That's the light warrior. And with that, maybe we can bring on Jonah Bolt.
I was actually just thinking that that would be a good time to bring in Jonah Bolt.
Who's online?
Jonah, are you there?
I am live. Hello, Star Family. How are you all?
Jonah Bolt of the Starseed.
Hey, Jonah.
Starseed Radio.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me?
Yep.
So, Jonah is a very close friend of ours, and he has Starseed Society. He has his own radio show, and
we work closely.
Very, very much got technology at the cutting edge of technology of various new, you know, free energy devices.
Self-sustainable living.
That's
right. He certainly knows a lot about all of this.
That's right.
And good friends with Laura as well, I understand.
So what I'd like to throw out for all of us here, because there's actually four light warriors or activists with us here, is the very fact of what we need to do apart from just working on ourselves. Should we be looking at sacred activism, which is something that, of course, Andrew Harvey talks about? Should we be actively organizing to overthrow the plans of the cabal and the Illuminati, or is it enough to just work on ourselves and to help people around us and just expose the lies?
When you say overthrow, that's sort of a controversial there's a definition to that anyhow, and activism has a certain, everybody has a different way of doing this. Go ahead, Jonah, you start.
Sure, yeah, I think I've been listening to the show, and I think it's all been great information. One of the questions that you asked 15 minutes ago was, is there a battle going on, Lana? And there definitely is a battle going on for light and dark. This is duality. That's part of this experience, as Laura was explaining. And I think working within is going to ground and help balance us. But I think from my point of view, since I first awoken 7 years ago, and I'm sure all of us have experienced this, a lot of people that have been awakened for a while, don't talk about this type of taboo topic. A lot of people keep this inside. A lot of people, oh, I talk to angels, but I haven't been able to tell anybody because they think I'm crazy. I think what we all need right now is as many light workers as we can to be vocal and just open our mouths, because that's really all we have to do. And the word is so powerful, much powerful than anything else that's going on. And that's what I think we need all of our brothers and sisters to do right now, is to open up their mouths and talk about this stuff. Talk about what's going on. Don't care what people say. Don't care what they throw at you. It's not about that. It's about speaking your truth and being grounded and have that balance. And by doing that, just by doing that, you're going to radiate that I am presence and see them. Even if they don't get it, just see them. And that is the only thing really we can do. We're not going to pick up machine guns and start, you know, going to war and doing things like that. We're not going to go up to the jungle and leave the rest of the world to be burned by war. We're light warriors. We're here to help raise the awareness and consciousness of each other. So we have to get vocal. We have to get out there. And a lot of light workers aren't. They don't want to talk about the wars, and they don't want to talk about this. And I personally don't think that is the best direction, is to ignore it. I don't think Buddha or Jesus or anyone else would ignore all the issues in the world. They wouldn't. I truly believe that. They would want to be aware of it and take action by making awareness of it. So we have to be vocal right now. We really have to. It's crunch time right now. The bark is not playing around. It's on.
I absolutely agree with you there. I would like to take it one step further. Obviously, battling, you know, with machine guns, etc., out of the question, but I believe very strongly, and I remember being impressed by Andrew Harvey when he talked about sacral activism, and he did say that people of the light tend to be very loving, but not as organized as dark forces.
And I think this is true, and this is why dark forces have been so successful in keeping us down for so long. The word is powerful, and speaking with conviction is powerful, but do we need to go more than beyond that?
I think we may need an organized, energetic connection of many individuals focusing on certain things at the same time.
Yeah. Let's let Laura step in now.
I just love this conversation. I'm like, yes, this is what needs to be talked about. I look at it like, you know, we're exposing the imposter. So when you expose the imposter, a lot of people are going to want to divorce it. You know, if you're in a marriage and you can tell that something's wrong, but you live in denial, you're still going to have sort of a half-ass experience, like most humans are. They know something's wrong. They know they have their head in the sands, but their lack of security and having their foundation crack is almost too frightening for them that they're kind of playing along with it. So we need to expose the imposter, encourage them to break the agreements with them, and then give them a soft landing pad, which is where the heart energy can come in, so that we can, you know, really help to rehabilitate together and let go of some of those reactions that come from the lower chakras, because we are taught, you know, we have to have it look like this, or it has to be like that. People don't want to walk away from that because they don't know what else to do. They're like, I don't want to live in the wilderness or out of my vehicle. It's like, we're not saying that. But, you know, if we expose the imposter and if we educate the masses and we form bigger communities, you know, then the energies are going to fall into place, because the organic energies are so much more powerful, and the true abundance comes, you know, from the universe. And so once you bust that imposter and it's not being fed anymore, then there is no more of that. And that's where we don't need to battle, but we need to expose. Mm-hmm. And we need to share information, and we need to listen to whistleblowers and people who have survived unbelievable stuff that will help us to see the truth of some of these characters that people are still empowering and putting in office.
And interestingly, that source of evil that I once saw during my awakening, Lana began calling it the imposter as an alternative name.
Yes, too.
So anyhow.
In the interests of non-duality.
Right.
I guess I'd like to suggest, and I know that this has been started with some groups meditating together, but I'm just putting it out there that David and I are still working to try to get the technology of raising human consciousness, which we do believe is there.
The super consciousness project.
The
10%, the transformational leaders working together energetically to push this awakening, this great awakening out there.
What I'd like to suggest is maybe in a few weeks' time we can get many, you know, well-known light workers together, and perhaps what we might add to all of this is an actual concerted effort of focusing energies on specific areas at the same time, perhaps. I know other people are opening up portals, and I know that there are various energy grid lines on Earth, but I'm wondering whether perhaps we need to become even better coordinated and organized.
Psychic warriors.
Yes. So I'm just leaving it out there as a possibility.
Throwing it out to the universe.
I mean, we can put our focus intention on pretty much anything and manifest it as long as we're consistent, as long as we clear it from any interferences, as long as it's grounded, and as long as everybody is feeling harmony with each other, safety, and, you know, passion and purpose. I mean, because that's the fires. You know, all the elements that we're made of are the most creative forces. You know, we can undo superstorms psychically.
Yes. Wonderful. Yes. Wonderful.
We're
running out of time, unfortunately. But look, we'd love to have you on the show again. And I'm offering that maybe we should get several people in a network together talk about the possibility of doing these things, but perhaps
in a concerted,
in unison at the same time. Something tells me that that may be incredibly effective.
Well, I think that's what we've been doing, and that's what we're working towards, and we just need to step up our game, and we can do that because we are powerful co-creators of reality in the universe. That's who we actually are. And just want to thank you, Jonah, for calling in, and if you want to add something quickly.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thanks for everything you're doing, and Laura, you always rock as always. We love hearing you speak your truth. Thank you again for coming on and for doing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much, Jonah, and for all that you do. And it's just been so great to do more with you. And I look forward to just so much with all of you. It's great.
Thank you very much, Laura. And once again, your website is...
Go ahead.
CosmicGaiaSophia.com. And you can find me on Facebook if you can't remember that. And it should be easy to find. And we have an amazing event coming up on Saturday. And it's a starseed event. And Jonah,
yes, it's going to be an amazing event this weekend. 8-hour webinar. Laura's there. Michael Tellinger. Hannah's daughter. It's going to be phenomenal. I have the honor of hosting it with everyone. It's going to be great. So definitely go to Laura's page, check it out, and get information. And we hope to see you there.
Fantastic. This is exactly what I'm talking about, a united, concerted effort with our focused energy. Wonderful.
Okay. Well, thank you all, and we'll see you next time on Universal Soul Love. Thank you for listening in. Love to all. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Jonah. We hope to work again with you very soon, and we'll talk soon.